Well, first this morning, documents leaked to the Sunday Times yesterday painted a stark picture of life in the United Kingdom after a no-deal Brexit. Shortages of food, fuel and medicines. A hard border causing protests, travel delays, rising prices. In other words, chaos. Ireland would also be hit hard by a no-deal. Well, to discuss all of this, I'm joined now on the line by Brexiteer Tory MP Marcus Fish, by Sammy Wilson, DUP MP for East Antrim, and in a short while I'll be talking to the Labour Party leader, Brendan Hallin. Good morning to you all. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak to us. Let me start with you, Marcus Fish. How shocked were you to read these details yesterday?
Well, this is a report that was made by the previous administration, and it was something that we knew was out there. It had been shown to various colleagues on what's called Privy Council terms, and it was really a part of that administration's attempt to frighten people at the time.
But actually, Marcus Fish, could I just come in there? The London Times is saying today that this document was dated this month.
Well, the information in it is certainly dated from the previous administration. The point is that the government has, in fact, been taking lots of actions and making money available in a very different way to the previous administration. So this is a scenario that doesn't have to occur. And the current administration is, in fact, doing what it needs to do to get the border operators and the logistics companies ready to be able to operate, particularly the Dover Straits trade channel, in an efficient way that won't clog up. And all of the really bad effects that are in that report are coming and stemming from the idea that cross-channel trade falls over, and it doesn't have to, and it doesn't have to come true if it doesn't.
But actually, you know, I know Tories often talk about Project Fear, Marcus Fish, but these are your government's own assessments, not the panicked assertions of ultra-Remainers. And we're talking about shortages of fresh food, fuel, medicines, including insulin and cancer drugs for children. It also suggests there could be an increase in public disorder, delays at airports, and of course a hard border with Ireland. And you are not concerned?
As Michael Gove, who's in charge of the no-deal planning, said yesterday, the government has been taking steps to do things differently, which means that this is a scenario that doesn't have to happen.
How are you going to avoid this? This is your own government's assessment of what is likely to happen in the case of a no-deal Brexit.
Michael Gove, who is in charge of it, and his assessment is that it doesn't have to happen if we do the right things, and that the government is doing those things to make sure that this is not a thing that comes true.
But what can your government realistically do?
The point is that we need to ready all of those involved in the cross-border trade to make the right declaration so they have the right papers so that when they arrive at Calais, they can show the transit documents that they need to get through that border efficiently. And then I don't think there's any prospect in that situation that the border would fall over in such a disruptive manner, which is at the core of all of these worst case assumptions. But yeah, we need to make sure everybody has the right information and is ready to do the right thing so that doesn't happen.
But I mean, even specifically in relation to this civil service detail in this report, according to the documents, petrol import tariffs could inadvertently lead to the closure of two oil refineries, while protests across Britain would require significant amounts of police resources.
Well, I just think that's a really bad assessment. I can't see the logic of that position. To be honest, the civil service have questions to answer as to why this thing has been leaked. And I think it's part of an establishment effort to try to scare people. The point is that if you have cheap imports of fuel, then the fuel is available. Otherwise, that those refiners don't have a problem.
But Marcus Fish, it's almost like, with respect, Tory MPs like you are delusional. I mean, this is your own civil service coming up with this details. It's dated this month. This is what they believe might happen.
This is what they have left in a pub for a journalist to find, I think that tells you all you need to know about the motivation. It could have come from the civil service, it could have come from anywhere. But the point is that we know that there are lots of people who don't want Brexit to happen and have been trying to scare people into not wanting it to. And this is their sort of last throw of the dice. The reality is that Brexit is going to happen, and we need to prepare for it, and we need to prepare for it right, and we need to try to make sure that our friends in Ireland are also prepared. So I want to work with all the hauliers and traders in Ireland to make sure that, that when they use the Dover Straits also, that they have the right things in place to make sure that that's a smooth experience for everyone.
Sammy Wilson, good morning to you. Can you understand the concerns of people in Northern Ireland reading yesterday's details about Operation Yellowhammer?
No, I don't. And first of all, it should be really renamed Operation White Flag. And Marcus is right. Within the establishment in the UK Civil Service, there are those, and I've witnessed them, they've come and given evidence to a committee which I've sat on. There are those who don't want the United Kingdom to leave the EU and who will make whatever predictions they have to make in order to try and persuade people that they made the wrong choice. And, Miriam, let me just point out to you that the Treasury, which made these this report, is one of the most discredited arms of government when it comes to making predictions. When we had the referendum, they predicted that if we voted to leave, we would have 850,000 people on the dole within 6 months. We've got 800,000 people, people in work than the United Kingdom now. They predicted... No, let me finish. This is an organisation which, when the referendum was being held, predicted if we voted to leave the EU, within a few months we would have 850,000 people more in the dole. We now have 800,000 people more in work. They predicted we would have an emergency budget with taxes going up. We did not have an emergency budget, and indeed the Chancellor is now able to find additional money.
Okay, Sammy Wilson, let me come back in on that.
Get us through Brexit, your own... but also to spend more on on other areas of government expenditure. And they predicted interest rates would be soaring. Interest rates are still at rock bottom in the United Kingdom. House prices would tumble. House prices are still steadily rising. Every prediction they have made is wrong, and yet we're still giving some credibility to these.
Okay, let me come back in there, Sammy Wilson. Your own civil service in Northern Ireland has predicted 40,000 job losses in the case of a no-deal Brexit.
Well, our own civil service, of course, first of all, did not consider any mitigation measures that the government might take, especially in the food, in the world, agri-food, which they say would be mainly hit. Secondly, they did not factor in anything as far as import substitution, because don't forget, if we leave without a deal, we are a net importer of food. We import a lot of food from your country. That food will be subject to 50% tariffs, which would give a huge advantage to farmers in Northern Ireland who could then fill the gap, which would be caused by your exporter of food being hit by the lower
Sammy Wilson, let me come back in for a moment. Just to quote this dossier, which is, of course, you may not respect the civil service. You have said that many times in this interview. But they are saying that the automatic application of EU tariffs and regulatory requirements for goods entering Ireland will severely disrupt trade. The expectation is that some businesses in Northern Ireland will stop trading or relocate to avoid either paying tariffs that will make them uncompetitive or trading illegally. So lots of businesses going out of operation.
Well, and Miriam, here's the point. If that were to be the case, then first of all, it would take time. There's no evidence at present that Northern Ireland businesses are relocating or even thinking of relocating to the Irish Republic. Secondly, there would be a massive opportunities for import substitution because we import so much food from the Irish Republic, which could then be sourced in Northern Ireland and supplied to the rest of the UK. And the third point that I would make to you is that I don't know where this disruption of trade across the border is going to come from, because I did an interview last week with your own finance minister in the World at One, who made it quite clear that as far as your government was concerned, they would not be imposing any barriers on north-south trade at the border. So, you know, I don't know. It's fine to say all these things, but, you know, we've got to remember that there's a war of words going on here, because people see the 31st of October approaching. They're desperately trying to find a way of persuading people that leaving on the 31st of October is a bad idea.
Is there not a possibility, Sammy, let me back in there.
Until then, we're going to have this going on.
But is there not a possibility that you are fooling yourself, that these, hang on, experienced civil servants honestly believe this is likely to happen? And should you not listen to at least some of what they say?
Well, they might honestly believe it because of their natural disposition to be to remain part of the EU. But that doesn't mean that it's necessary. Just because somebody believes something doesn't mean it's, it may be true. Even if they honestly believe it, even if they passionately believe it, it doesn't mean that it's going to be true. And all I would say to you is that you judge the people who are making the predictions on how accurate their predictions have been in the past. Can you really give any credibility to people who, either because they're blinded by their own bias or because the tools which they have for making predictions are so poor that those predictions are always going to be inaccurate? Let me just give you one example. The health service in Northern Ireland has now got 6 weeks' stocks of medicines. And yet we're told that there's going to be medicine shortages. Now, if we've got 6 weeks' stocks of medicines in place already in preparation for Brexit, how are we going to finish up with medicine shortages?
Do you accept at this stage, Sammy Wilson, that it's disingenuous to suggest that there won't be some form of hard border on the island? The EU is going to have to protect its frontier.
Well, Miriam, that's a question you should be taking up with your own ministers, because your own ministers are saying that.
I know, but I mean, I'm asking you.
Last week, I said, well, I don't believe that there will be. And I don't believe there will be because, first of all, your own ministers are saying it won't happen. Secondly, I know that logistically it's not possible. We had 40 years of troubles when we had 50,000 troops in Northern Ireland, and we couldn't effectively close the border.
But the EU is going to have to protect its own frontier. That's just a reality.
Are you telling me that the EU is going to be able to do without an EU army, maybe using the resources of the Irish army, what the British army couldn't do over 40 years?
So you're saying people shouldn't at all be concerned about a hard border? As far as you're concerned, there won't
be
one.
They shouldn't at all, because there's two things that people in Northern Ireland are concerned about. First of all, will they be able to move freely across the border as individuals to visit their relatives, go to school, go to work? So as far as moving to people is concerned, there's not an issue. We've all agreed on that. And that's a big issue, I know, for many people in Northern Ireland. And the second thing is the movement of goods. And I'm just telling you, but we know that logistically it is not possible to prevent the movement of goods across the Irish border with this 200 roads and hundreds of miles of border. So the movement of goods across the border will not be impeded. And indeed, the EU are now saying that they're looking at how they could monitor trade electronically and have decentralisation of any checks. That's probably means checks at the point of receipt of the goods or the departure of the goods. And I believe that these things can be done smoothly if there's a political will. The big concern that I have is that there are those within the EU and within your own government who have now invested so much of their political capital in saying that there cannot be anything but a hard border, that they may well try to impose one.
Final question to you, Sammy Wilson. A border down the Irish Sea remains an option, of course, for the British government in the face of a no deal. A poll yesterday shows that 3 out of 5 voters in Northern Ireland are in favour of a border in the Irish Sea. Is that not a compromise that could be approached by you and the DUP?
No, it's not a compromise, and indeed it would tear up the Belfast Agreement. A border in the Irish Sea would mean that the principle of consent, which is embedded in the Belfast Agreement, would be dispensed with.
But a border on the island of Ireland also tears up the Good Friday Agreement.
Well, I am more concerned as a unionist in staying as part of the United Kingdom than as staying part of the EU. A border in the Irish Sea would mean that we would have our laws made in Brussels instead of London. So constitutionally, our position within the United Kingdom would have been diminished. And secondly, and equally importantly, we do 14% of our trade with the EU. We do 60% of our trade with GB. Why on earth would we hurt our own economy by allying ourselves more with the EU by having a border in the Irish Sea than with GB, which is our main market?
Okay, Marcus Fish, Sammy Wilson, appreciate you both taking us the time to speak to us this morning.
Pleasure.
And I'm now joined by Brendan Howlan, who's the Labour Party leader and TD for Wexford. Morning to you, Brendan Howlan. I know you've been listening there to Marcus Fish and Sammy Wilson. It's a case of not much to see here, as far as they're concerned, in the case of Project Yellowhammer.
Profoundly disappointed to hear it. You know, the words Project Fear are used by Brexiteers in the same way as Donald Trump uses the phrase fake news to dismiss or discredit any unpalatable truth. Now, most of us accept the independent analysis of objective civil servants. Well, it's one of the strengths of the British public administration for a century, and one of our own strengths in Ireland too, that objective information is given to you by civil servants who look at the facts and present them. Now, you can make what you will with the information, but it's never happened before that comprehensive analysis has been completely rejected as untrue in the way that the two previous speakers on this program have rejected the document that was leaked yesterday. And I should make the point that Operation Yellowhammer is not a single assessment in time. This is a process that's been in operation for many months. It's not, as Sammy Wilson said, an analysis of the Treasury. It's created by the Civil Contingencies Service of the Cabinet Office. The Cabinet Office, which is at the heart of British government. It consists, this particular assessment, of the work of 56 civil servants, we understand. They're looking at what might happen, and this is not their worst case scenario. This is what is
okay. But let me come back in there for a moment. Sammy Wilson did say, however, in that interview, that he believes the document merely reflects the national and natural disposition of the civil service in the UK to remain in the EU. And also yesterday, his party leader, Arlene Foster, said that it was a deliberate leak to undermine the British government's negotiating position. So that's what they believe.
Well, I listened to a number of commentaries yesterday, including the man in charge of all of this, Michael Gove, and his basic assessment was that all of this has changed since the new administration has taken place. In other words, that this might be less than a month old as a document, but because they've announced a number of initiatives in the last 3 weeks, that all has changed. Now, that is patently absurd. The issues that are set out in black and white in this ongoing assessment are there to be faced. And unfortunately, the inescapable truth is now we're just over 70 days away from this becoming a reality. So I hope somebody somewhere has all the assertions put down by Michael Gove and Sammy Wilson and Marcus Fish and everybody else to give such reassurances, and we'll be able to play them back when the consequences play out in 70
days'
time.
Okay, let me come back in there again, Brendan. Listening to Sammy Wilson there, I mean, he made the point, okay, I was saying about, does he not accept there will now be a hard border because the EU will have to protect its frontier? He said, right, who's going to put up that hard border? Is it going to be our army? Like, in other words, there's an irony, isn't there, Brendan Howlan, that the UK will not put up any infrastructure. That's what they're saying. So we, almost as a member of the EU, will be required to do so.
Well, it is a fact that we're going to have to protect the single market, because if we don't protect the single market on the island of Ireland, the rest of the single market will protect itself by excluding us from it and having checks on goods entering the rest of the European Union from Ireland. That would be wholly and completely unacceptable. So there is, you're right, there is a real dilemma here. But
I mean, are we actually going to do that?
Well, we're going to have checks because I read in this morning's London papers Owen Paterson, a former Northern Ireland secretary, suggest that one of the great achievements now with exit from the European Union for Britain will be the availability of genetically modified foods. And that's going to be the future of British agriculture. Now, we're not going to have GM foods in the single market. We're going to have to protect that. If they're going to have chlorinated chicken imported from the rest of the world into Northern Ireland or into Britain, we're going to have to make sure it doesn't enter the European Union into Ireland. Or if they're going to have hormoned beef. We have standards in the European Union, and the entire agribusiness of Ireland is integrated. We have a single integrated Irish farming economy. And I think most Ulster farmers would be horrified at the notion that they're going to be in competition with hormone beef from the United States or with genetically modified food from the rest of the world.
Importantly, Brendan Howland, in terms of no-deal planning, and we're getting very, very close, how confident are you that there's enough planning going on in this country, in government, for example, to keep traffic in and out of our ports moving and to protect the livelihoods you were just talking there about farmers and businesses?
Well, I've been saying for more than a year now, I don't think there's enough being done. I think also that there's too much...
OK, what needs to be done?
Well, there's a number of things. Some of it is probably too late if it's going to happen in October. That is the investment in our port infrastructure. I think there's too much dependence on the Port of Dublin. As you saw this morning, delays into the port because of development work there. We are too dependent, and we should have invested in ports like Rosslair, like Foynes, like Cork earlier. Okay. We need to have a clear understanding of what resources are going to be available, because not every region of the country is going to be impacted the same way. What resources are going to be available to those sectors that we know are going to be hit most? And we need to have a quantity on the sum of money that will be available from the European Union.
Thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us this morning. And after the break, Minister John Halligan on school buses and more.
Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.